You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Sports Beat KC, the Kansas City Star Sports Podcast. I'm Blair Kirkhoff, and today we are talking college basketball, zeroing in on the Kansas Jayhawks with beat writers Gary Bedor and Shreyas Latta. KU is coming off one of its better performances of the season, a 22-point victory over Kansas State. Did we learn anything about the Jayhawks' NCAA tournament chances with that effort? Maybe. One thing we know from their body of work, this team moves and distributes the ball extremely well. We also know they don't shoot the three-pointer with great frequency. Also, they've been good enough to beat three of the nation's top four ranked teams this season, but bad enough to lose to the team that's likely going to be the bottom seed in the Big 12 tournament. With a regular season finale trip to top-ranked Houston and the Big 12 and NCAA tournaments on the horizon, let's check in on Kansas with Gary and Shreyas. Well, hi, guys. Late night last night. We're recording this, of course, on Wednesday, the day after Kansas defeated Kansas State in the Sunflower Showdown, beat them by 22. Gary, I thought it was one of KU's better efforts this year, certainly one of their better efforts in Big 12 play. Do you agree?
Yeah, they hit an acceptable for them amount of threes, six. So K-State only had two more than them. Played really hard on defense. You could tell that they wanted it badly to make up for the loss in Manhattan. So I agree with you. They played pretty well. They didn't shoot it overall that well, 45%, but it was a pretty good effort.
Missed a lot of layups, and I want to get
a ton of layups.
Yeah, and I want to get into the 3-point shooting thing with you and Trey. I think that's really important for Kansas going forward, but just a couple, because the game is kind of fresh in our minds. They started the seniors, right, Trey? And that's the tradition, and it kind of affected them early, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they got off to a slow start. I think they were down 10-5 early, and I think Self put in Jake, took out Jank and took out Timberlake when he kind of saw them sputtering a little bit early and put in Furphy and KJ Adams, and they righted the ship. But I mean, it was cool to see Jank, because I know every KU fan's been wanting him to play this year after their inability to kind of shoot threes. I don't think he scored. I'd have to look back at the box score, but it was cool for him to get the chance to start after being on this Kansas team for so long.
Got the free throw at the end, I think, for his 1 point. And then Cassidy got a bucket.
Yes,
a goaltending call. So good for him to score on senior night. You know, of all the crazy numbers that are associated with the success of the Kansas program, one of the craziest has to be 40 straight. Is it now 40, or did they go to 41 last night?
I believe it's 40 straight now. After this thing, it's nuts how 40 straight years of, you know, winning on senior night tells you how good this Kansas team has been, and just a lot of firsts with this team. You know, first time dropping out of the AP poll in 3 years, out of the top 10. First time dropping. Getting seven conference losses. This is a down year for Kansas basketball, and I'd still say there's a decent shot that they can go far in the tournament.
A down year. This is what a down year for Kansas basketball looks like. So, and listen, I think if you haven't done it yet, Shrey, I think you're working on a story. I actually, it's been posted, hasn't it? Where we can, when you say down year, a lot of people were saying that about the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Of course, Chiefs won the division, went on to win the Super Bowl, but it wasn't vintage Chiefs as we've come to know under Mahomes. 14-3 and home, number one seed. And
You know, this Kansas team will not be the Big 12 champion. It will probably have to, well, I don't think there's any way to avoid not playing on the second round of the conference tournament, meaning they'd have to win four games to win the conference tournament. That's never happened for Kansas I don't think ever. Looking at past conference tournaments, I'm not sure they've ever been in a position where they had to win 4 in 4 days. So anyway, there are some interesting cross sport comparisons with these two teams.
Yeah, I think, like Self said it best, they've done it before. So, it's hard to compare yourself to the Chiefs. And no disrespect to Hunter Dickinson, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. as much as the comparison likes to let you believe, I'm not going to go that far. Even as a Patriots fan, Patrick Mahomes is on the GOAT trajectory. Hunter Dickinson's on the, I'm not sure he's the best college basketball player in the nation this year. But
no, I don't think he is. Yeah.
The thing about this team is, they had their issues, between three-point shooting, three-point defense, can't play on the road. But the more I watch them, the more I think, if they get some favorable matchups, they can go decently far. They assist the ball really well. When they're locked in on defense, they're really good. They have a lot of experience and leadership. When they're healthy, when Kevin McCullough's healthy out there, it's hard to beat this Kansas team, as we've seen them against K-State. We've seen them in other games as well. When this Kansas team's healthy, they have a chance to beat anybody. I mean, they beat UConn early in the year.
Right, right. Hey, Gary, before I forget, I think the first Kansas senior night game that I covered was Roy Williams' second season. It wasn't the initial season where the team was on probation, but it was the second year. And I think Pekka Markkanen and Rick Callaway were seniors that year. Do you remember your first senior night game coverage of a KU game?
Good question. I think Larry might have started the tradition here.
I think he did, yeah.
So I would have been there. Did Larry start it when Self's first year at KU for Danny Manning? It might have been that year.
Okay.
Brown, I believe, heard about it through Lefty Drizel or somebody had done it. And I think he brought it to KU, but I don't know off the top of my head, but it was probably Larry Brown.
Rest in peace, era. Lefty Drizel, right? Passed away just in the last couple of weeks. So... okay, so again, a terrific win. It improves Kansas, I think, to 10-7 in the Big 12. They've got one regular season game left. It's at top-ranked Houston. I mentioned that Kansas played well last night. I thought maybe KU's best game of the year was against Houston in Allen Fieldhouse a few weeks ago. They shot 69% from the floor, and that was the game afterwards. Kelvin Sampson, the Cougars coach, said, what are we doing being the favorite, against KU and Allen Fieldhouse? Because Houston was a favorite in that game. Listen, I don't expect Kansas to go to Houston and win. But have they put behind them efforts like BYU at home? And when they're healthy, can you expect Kansas to be competitive against everybody that they play, which hasn't been the case all season?
I think that's the hope. That they are competitive. I think the issue is, and I've wrote about this earlier in the year, is they just don't shoot enough threes, and they don't make enough threes. So it's like, even though it's college basketball, not the NBA, where everybody's shooting threes, you have to hit a decent amount of threes to even be competitive. I mean, it's why they lost the BYU game, because they were plus 30 on 3-point margin for BYU, even though BYU is not great defense. And Kansas is really good at scoring inside. So I think... ideally you hope that they're competitive, but Kansas' inability to take and make threes and defend the long ball this year has been the biggest kind of question marks around this team. And just looking at how they play stylistically, it is going to be a lot of grind out victories. I mean, even that's why in this K-State game, it took them a while to kind of put the Wildcats away because they weren't making a ton of three-pointers, and they hit a couple, and that kind of you know, build some momentum off there. I think this Kansas team has the lowest 3-point rate in the Bills of era by quite some, like 30, 40 marks. And I think the time they had something as low, I think in the 300s or whatever, 3-point rate, it was 2014-15. They lost second round at Wichita State.
Up in Omaha. I remember that game. I think that's a big issue for Kansas. And it's just the way this team is constructed. Even the victory over Kansas State didn't get into relaxation mode for KU until Nick Timberlake went back to back on threes, and that opened it up. It went from basically a 10-12 point margin up to 16-18, and that's what threes can do for a team. And this team, they don't shoot a low percentage, right? They're like at 34%+, which is an acceptable percentage of threes.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't take many, and they don't make any. And I think I heard on the broadcast last night the stat, and I'm sure it was in the KU notes. Maybe this wasn't because it was a negative KU stat, but in losses this year, the KU average is making 4.7 threes per game, and opponents in those games averaged making 10. So that's a difference of 15 points on, you know, from behind the arc. And I just, you know, you don't have to go too far back in the memory of Kansas basketball to realize just how important shooting and making the three is. Ochai Agbaji made, what was it, Gary? Was it 6 of 7 against Villanova in the semifinal 2 years ago? And didn't Remy Martin make 2 or 3 in a row against North Carolina in the championship game to push them over the edge? So what is it? Is this team just not constructed to take and make threes?
I think the roster thing is the biggest thing, right? Nick Timberlake was supposed to be this renowned sharpshooter, and we haven't seen that till really last night. That was the first time all year a Kansas player has made 4 threes.
Wow.
Which is nuts. And I wrote about it back then, but I don't know if this is still true, but up to that point, the only time Kansas had outscored a team from beyond the arc was the Cincinnati game. Every single other game, they were either tied or below, the other team. So it's like you're playing at basically a 9-12, 15-point deficit most games. And Kansas gets away with it because their defense is good inside, and they're good at this thing. So that's why they're in a lot of games. But then they also have games where they just get blown out, like Texas Tech, because they just shoot the heck out of the ball and, you know, Kansas couldn't recover. So I think it's really interesting to watch this team, because a lot of it is, you know, the people that were expected to be good haven't been as good as expected, whether it's Nick Timberlake or a guy like Arturo Morris, who, you know, was on the team, then, you know, everything that happened. And even with El Marco, you know, there was expectation this guy would be a, you know, lottery NBA pick. And now we're not sure how many years it's going to take him, if at all, for him to get to the NBA. He's shown flashes, but he's just clearly not ready. And Kansas has been very lucky to have the emergence of Johnny Furphy, you know, because think about how much worse this team would look without a guy like him in the starting lineup.
Yes, Furphy has certainly stepped up, filled a role. His numbers represent his, you know, his presence on the team. But even with Furphy and his ability, it doesn't seem like they're getting enough distance shooting from. I could see a scenario where, you know, you could see he could put up 1 or 2 more 3-point attempts mm-hmm. a game. And really, Gary, Hunter Dickinson has basically stopped shooting threes, hasn't he?
Pretty much. He really has tailed off. I think he's in the 30% range, though. But he is not going out there as far and jacking him up. He hit a big one in there. The BYU game, I think, when they were trying to pull it out. But no, he's not a factor from three right now at all. Maybe next year if he stays, he could try it again. But he's not – he can shoot them, though, you know, if you need one, he can try. But it's in his repertoire, that for sure. But he's much better around the hoop.
I know he made one late against Baylor, too. He stepped out and made one when Kansas was trying to dig into that.
Yeah, that was the one deficit. I was thinking of.
Yeah. But look, cautionary tale, right? For Kansas. And you mentioned the BYU game, Trey, and I go back. I don't remember how these games unfolded because they were so long ago, but the losses to West Virginia and Central Florida back in January, I can't think of a team in the country that has a wider range of, you know, prospects than KU because of, you mentioned the win over UConn. I'll throw in, and we talked about the Houston win. You can throw in the Tennessee win. You know, they've beaten three of the top five teams or four teams, whatever the ranking is this week in the country. And at the same time, they've lost to the teams that are going to be the 13 and 14 seeds in the Big 12 tournament, mm-hmm. West Virginia and Central, was it Central Florida? I think Oklahoma State actually is the other one. So anyway, two of the teams are going to play in the first day of the Big 12 tournament in Central Florida and in West Virginia. And then BYU at home. How do you reconcile that? That good enough to beat these teams, bad enough to lose to the other teams?
I think it's definitely a little bit of something of, Kansas playing up and down to their competition. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Hunter Dickinson said it's best. I mean, I know fans in the Big 12 don't want to hear it, but every team has gotten to take down Kansas, right? So you're going to get the best out of those teams. And the way Kansas plays defense also leaves them susceptible to giving up three-pointers. I mean, they built a scheme around Hunter Dickinson, and he's a little slow laterally. And just watching him, if they're not switching correctly, they can give up a lot of threes. So bad three-point shooting teams like West Virginia, UCF, I think UCF made 10, West Virginia made 13 or 14. Like, I feel like Kansas fans are like, oh my God, like, why are they hitting so many threes on against? It's by design. Self has talked about it, where they would rather let them take threes than take, an open line to the rim or whatever. And it's built around paint defense and protection. And it's worked in a lot of games, but on the road where Kansas can't keep up with other teams shooting threes, it's led to some losses that they probably shouldn't have had. And, I think it's a weird thing where I don't think Self's defensive system is wrong per se. I think the roster construction on the other side, for offense, if Kansas was just a little bit better at shooting threes, I think we wouldn't be worried so much about this team.
Look, if they're a little bit better at shooting threes, I think they'd be going into the Houston game Saturday. Let's just reverse the losses to BYU, West Virginia, and Central Florida. KU would be 13-4 going mm-hmm. into the final game, and that would be for first place with the Cougars. It's not that is not the case as Kansas tries to hang in. I actually think they may be locked into a sixth seed because of tiebreakers in the Big 12 tournament. So something we can look into after the games are played tonight. So still some games, midweek games to be played in the Big 12.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The other thing, we need to say it, Kansas does some things extremely well. They are the ball movement on this team. I don't think there's a team in the country that moves the ball better than Kansas. They lead the nation in assists per game. When their offense is humming, it is something to behold. But too often it ends in two-pointers and not threes. So, Gary, is this a good ball handling team as Bill has had in a while, or does DeJuan Harris make that big a difference for this team?
I think Harris assist turnovers is really good again. He makes the thing go. But you're right, they do share the ball pretty well at times. It just this team is just such a home road discrepancy. Do you realize if they're 7-6 entering the Houston game, if they lose that, they're 7-7. Let's say they go 1-1 at the Big 12 tournament, they close the season 8-8. They're a 500 team right now. They're good one game, bad the next. They're 2-6 on the road. Worst record in the Bill Self era in the Big 12. If they lose, they're going to be 2-7. So I do think they do some things well. They could get hot, but right now they're a 500 team. They haven't fared well in the Big 12 at all this year compared to the past. You know, again, worst Big 12 road record. The worst before this is 3-6. So it'll really be tough to beat Houston. So, that is what I think in a nutshell is this team. Can this 500 team over a long period of time get hot? Yeah, they could, but they also could go 1-1 in the NCAA.
They haven't won three straight games since the beginning of the year. They haven't won three straight games in conference play at all. So, you know, the idea of them winning six in a row just seems a little asinine or far-fetched, but, you know, I've been wrong before, so.
You know, it seems to me that let's just say they're either a 3 or a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. I think this team is capable of losing that first game to a 13 or a 14, and I think they're capable of beating a 1 seed in their region. You know, if it's their, you know, if they get to the Sweet 16 and they're lined up, they're the 4 seed and play the 1. I think they're capable of doing it. It's just. You get the, as you mentioned earlier, Shrey, it's about the matchups. You get the right matchup, a team that I think they're going to play well at Houston on Saturday. I don't think they'll win, but I think it'll be something like the Baylor game last Saturday. I thought they played well down there. It's kind of a formula that we've seen. Baylor made some threes. Kansas didn't match that, and Baylor took the win. But Baylor's a very good team, probably a three or four seed itself, and Kansas won on the road and played pretty good in that game. So let's talk about NCAA tournament prospects. One of the websites that I look at, maybe you guys do too, is bracketmatrix.com. You know, that's a compilation of all the mock brackets that are out there. So up to 100 of them. And right now, right yesterday's K-State game, Kansas was a consensus number 3 seed. I think those early wins over teams that are terrific is really going to help Kansas. Even if they lose, let's say they lose to Houston and go 1-1 in the Big 12 tournament or 2-1, I think they'll probably end up being a 3, maybe the lowest of the 3s, which would mean they play they'd be aligned with one of the best of the 2s. So, but I don't know what this bode. They're going to be one of the hardest teams to figure out going into the tournament. Do you Shreya see them as 3 or 4? Can they get to a 2 with a good run in Kansas City? If they beat Houston, what's the range for this team seeding wise?
I think it's somewhere in that 2-4 range. You know, 2 would probably be they beat Houston on Saturday, and they either make the Big 12 tournament finals and win it, or lose it in the finals, depending on who the team is. I think that would give them a chance to be a 2 seed. I think 4 could be something where if they lose to Houston and they somehow lose first or second game in the
Big 12
tournament. Yeah. So, but I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like this team's going to be a 3 seed. You know, I feel like it'll be an interesting range of outcomes where, like, I agree with you. I think they'll probably lose to Houston, but it'll be relatively close, which is a good thing. You know, beating Houston on the road is hard. And then probably win maybe 2, maybe 3 in the Big 12 tournament and then drop it. I mean, I am of the opinion that the Big 12 tournament does not matter for Kansas that much because this team needs to get healthy and ready to go for the NCAA tournament, you know, with Kevin McCullough. I mean, like Bill talked about it last night, you know, where if, you know, he's grabbing at his knee during the game a little bit, you know, anything can happen, and his health is paramount for Kansas in their, you know, quest to get a national title.
Yeah, Gary's going to ask about that, the McCullough health situation. He did look good, knocked down a couple of shots last, made all of his free throws. That was big for Kansas, making what was as a team 26 of 28 against the Wildcats. But the health of McCullough's got to be pretty important. Even though Kansas did win at Oklahoma this year, I think without McCullough, that's a pretty important piece, isn't it?
Yeah, and if KU has to play four games in the Big 12 tournament, there's no way McCullough could or probably should play all four. So that'll be interesting. I wonder if Self would just say, I got to hold him out the first two. I mean, think about what that could do. You know how the NCAA tournament is all that anybody cares about. If KU played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, let's say they get hot, that could be of the utmost detriment to the team. How can McCullough play four games when he still has a knee bruise? I mean, the guy's in treatment all the time. You saw him rubbing his knee at the end of the game. I don't know if he got it bumped, but it's just a crazy season with Bill probably doesn't want to play. If he's honest, I mean, how can you play four games in a row and then go play Thursday in the NCAA tournament? So, don't know much about his injury. If it really is just, quote, a bone bruise, it's obviously been healing, getting better. But, you know, if it's a sprain or something, we'll never know. But it's probably just a bone bruise. But obviously he got it bumped last night or something. So 4 games, 4 days, not good for the Jayhawks. If they were to get hot in Kansas City, I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That if we're talking about the KU doesn't need the Big 12 tournament, rarely does it need the Big 12 tournament, but that's never stopped Bill Self from going after it, right? He's won more than anybody else.
Yeah, he wants to win it, no question. And but he's also so smart. I wonder what he would do. He'll probably never say, but would he sit Kevin the first two games? I mean, he could play the last two in a row with no problem, probably. Not that they would win the semifinal, but it's been a crazy season, and we'll see. But appears Dickinson's healthy right now, and nobody else. Parker Brown's got an ankle, but I think he could have played last night if they needed him. So health is going to be huge. They've got no depth, as we know, not much depth. So the new Big 12 format isn't going to help them if they, especially after a tough game at Houston. Let's say Houston's playing for the title. They're going to, you know, really want to pound KU from the start. It's going to be emotional. Jayhawks have really not much to play for. And then you go to the Big 12 tournament. Wow.
Yeah, look, Houston's top ranked team in the country too. I think they want to keep that as long as they can.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, listen. Hey, looking forward to seeing both you guys, Trey and Gary, in Kansas City next week. Always a fun event. I don't know how valuable the event is anymore for the teams. Everybody's got a different motivation coming in. You know, for Kansas State, they need to stack wins and get as many as they can to build their resume. Plus this week hurt them. That would have been a great win for K-State, and their resume didn't get it. So they need to come to Kansas City and get some W's. So, all right, guys, thanks a lot, and we will see you next week.
Perfect. Thanks for having us.
That'll do it for today. Big thanks to producer Randy Mason for putting together the show, and to our SportsBeat KC staff of Monty Davis, Jeff Rosen, and Scott Chasen. Tip of the cap to Gary Bedore and Shreyas Lada for sharing their insights. Check out our KU, K-State, Mizzou, and college sports coverage, along with the best in Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and KC current coverage in the best digital sports page in America, the Stars Morning Sports Edition. Find it at liveedition.kansascity.com. Thanks for listening. Please give us a rating and leave a comment. We'll be back soon on SportsBeat KC, where we talk sports in and around Kansas City.